Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end.
Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Welcome back to the Pixie Dust Podcast. Very excited to be with you. We are recording this on Monday, May 4th, which means I think I'm obligated to say May the 4th be with you. And scene. There we did it. Star Wars fans finding themselves at Walt Disney World are very, very, very contented fans of such an important franchise. And we're excited to spend this episode talking to you about taking on everything that Disney World has to offer a Star Wars fan or the people who love them. And there's an important distinction there because I'm a mom of a 10-year-old boy who loves Star Wars. My husband was not really a Star Wars fan growing up, but when your kid starts to like something, you take an interest in it. And so we have kind of become, I don't know, I'm a very casual Star Wars fan. I'm not mad at it. Some people get mad at this stuff, and other people obviously are obsessed with it. Disney World has purchased the franchise. I think I just read just after yesterday, because we were discussing this, that Disney bought the Star Wars franchise for just over $4 billion, and they are doing stuff with it. So thank you for tuning into this. We are going to talk about, this is not just for people who love Star Wars, because Erica and I are not people who are obsessed with Star Wars, but we do love, love, love Disney World, and so that's what we're going to talk about today. Erica Murphy, my co-host for this podcast, and also she is a travel agent with Magic Expeditions. You can check her out on her Facebook page at Erica Murphy Magic Expeditions. And also, we now have our very own Facebook page, and we want you to go check it out at the Pixie Dust Podcast on Facebook. Erica, I'm pretty excited about the Facebook page myself.
I am so excited. I stayed up late past my bedtime for the Facebook page, and I was telling my husband was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what's you happening? Have to see this. He's like, you have 2 likes. And I'm like, yeah. It's me and Jared.
Yeah, it wasn't even me at the time. I was going through when we were getting it all set up, I saw Erica invited you to like the Pixie Dust podcast, which is funny because when she created the Erica Murphy Magic Expeditions Facebook page, I invited her to like her own page as well. So Facebook is funny that way. So if you've listened to this podcast before and you enjoy it, please consider going liking us on Facebook. We're going to keep it up to date with news and articles that we see that interest us and kind of a lot of these go into how we choose the next topic for conversation on the podcast. And if you have suggestions, you'll be able to weigh in on things just like what we're talking about today. Star Wars. Do you love it? Do you hate it? Do you suffer through it because a family member loves it? Or are you like me where you've gone to Disney World and you've seen what Disney has done with this franchise and you can all you can do is appreciate it? So, Erica, you've been going to Disney World your whole life. I've only been going for a little over 2 years now, and it's the Star Wars influence, even the time that I've been going to Disney World, it's been pretty massive on the way that Disney World presents itself in the parks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that Star Wars is much of a culture as it is part of the franchise, because people really get immersed into the story. And I'm not a big Star Wars fan. I think we've talked about this before. I've never even seen the movies.
Woo! Not which, one.
No, not one. I've and seen I know. Them all, I know I need to. And my son, we were upstairs watching High School Musical. So that's kind of more of my speed. That's what he's going to grow.
Oh, Lord. That's Mommy, where's the do. High School Musical park?
Yeah,
Troy probably Bolton, have one fine. Then. Yeah.
But, you know, I know that I need to get into it. But my brother is a giant Star Wars fan. And it's not... I feel like he feels about Star Wars the way that I feel about Disney World, to where it's not just a movie. It's not just characters and attractions in this galaxy far, far away. It's a culture. It's a way of life, I guess, so to speak. But it is. I mean, it says something that started, what, how many years ago? 30, 40 70s. Years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, is now... it still has the same impact now today as it does back then. And I think that says a lot about, yeah. about what Star Wars is, not just a movie.
It has transcended generations. I was excited to get my son exposed to Star Wars because my dad has always been a huge Star Wars fan. My dad likes Star Trek also. I used to watch Star Trek episodes with him more because it was past 9 o'clock and that meant I got to stay up later and I was like, oh, this is my favorite thing ever. Star Wars, yeah, Star Trek, beam me up.
It's so cool.
But I, you know, that Star Wars was a huge deal for people when they saw these movies first come out, and it's continued to be, and I think that's to be celebrated. So let's talk about some of the things that are at Disney World that are Star Wars centered, and then we will discuss with each one of them, like, what level of a fan you have to be to enjoy it. Not just, like, totally nerd out on it, but if you go to that, of all the things you can do at Disney World, are you going to be like, yeah, I'm glad I did that? You know, maybe it's not my first thing on the list that I would want to do, but I'm really glad that I experienced that. And again, for me, so much of what is great about Disney World is experiencing things that Disney has put together and watching it touch people's lives, specifically those people who you love the most. And Disney World might be one of them. So if we're going to start, I want to start at some of the older stuff that people may have experienced before. Star Tours, is that the oldest? That's probably the oldest reference to Star Wars that Disney World has. And that took place well before any of these sequels were put into place and before Disney even owned the Star Wars Enterprise. Have you been on Star Tours before?
I have, yeah. And it's one that is Erica approved. Again, yeah. I think we talked about, you know, my level of attractions that I go on. And I did get a little motion sickness, but it's a simulator, so I was okay. Yeah. But it's one of those things that I think that Disney does a really good job about making the experience, because, you know, like I said, I've never seen the movies. I don't know any of the characters, but just appreciating a larger than life droid that you're walking into, and you know, the sights and the smells and the lights and the way that people talk and the costumes and everything about the experience. It's mind blowing. And like you said, that was one of the first rides, and I haven't had the pleasure of actually being on Rise of the Resistance, but I can only imagine if that kind of blew me away, what that is going to do.
Yeah. So it's a huge, it's almost incomparable. The Disney World explanation of Star Tours, the adventure continues. It's located in Echo Lake at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Make the jump to hyperspace on a thrilling 3D space flight to legendary destinations from the Star Wars saga. So you have to be 40 inches tall to ride this. That's pretty short. She just turned four. My four-year-old is almost 43 inches. And she's four. I think she might be on the taller side. But if she's four and she's riding this, it's most people can watch this. It says it's for kids, tweens, teens, and adults. It says there are small drops. And it's a really neat experience, because you walk in and basically like this teeny movie theater with, I don't know, in the past, what, 30, 40 of your closest new friends? Maybe it'll be half that coming up here as we watch and see what Disney does to reopen. But it says, board your Star Speeder 1000 and prepare for takeoff when a series of mishaps unwittingly causes your starship to launch too soon. Protocol droid C-3PO takes the controls. Suddenly, the ship is intercepted by Imperial or First Order forces. Searching for a rebel spy. To avoid capture, you'll embark on a thrilling, unpredictable flight that rockets you through the farthest reaches of the galaxy, featuring a flight simulator, digital 3D video, audio animatronic characters, and in-cockpit special effects and music. This attraction immerses you in the Star Wars mythology for an unforgettable intergalactic adventure. Will your Starspeeder elude capture and make it back to the base? May the Force be with you always. So that's the description from Disney regarding Star Tours. I will say that when you walk around to where Star Tours is located and you see one of these gigantic Imperial walkers, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. The really, really tall things with the four legs. I called a stormtrooper the other day an Imperial walker to my son, and he looked at me like I was the stupidest person on the planet. Man. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, I'm a stormtrooper, but now I just call everything an Imperial walker. Kind of covers for my, like, oh, was they being sarcastic, or did I really not know? You won't ever know. So, but you walk up to this thing, and this massive Imperial walker, you're not even as tall as the bend in the leg. This thing is huge. And it kind of takes your breath away when you haven't experienced anything like this before. So even seeing that is awesome. And then you get on Star Tours. I think Star Tours is something that will feel dated more and more so, exponentially so, with what Galaxy's Edge has to offer. So I would highly encourage people to check it out, because it could be modified at some point, I don't know, to something else or to a beefed up version of Star Tours, but the beefed up version of Star Tours is in Galaxy's Edge, which we will get to here in a little bit. So I think it's a fun ride. It does have a little bit of motion to it. Like you said that you're fine with it. That kind of surprised me. I wondered if you were able to do it.
I did it. Yeah, it was a little jolty from it, just because I get car sick or motion sick.
Yeah.
So that was just it. But that's the thing. I mean, it makes you feel like you are in spaceship.
Yeah. Sure.
And that you're flying.
This is
and
where
doing
you
all these things.
Where you come for your Star Wars expertise. We're like,
I don't know. But I think that you mentioned about how it's a little dated, but I kind of almost wonder if it's going to end up being something like the Carousel of Progress, where it's something that, you know, yes, it's a little, I guess, outdated, but it's classic and it's something that is nostalgic that people love.
Erica
and,
hates change.
What?
I said Erica hates change. Yeah. You don't want to change. I mean, that doesn't mean you're wrong by any stretch of the imagination. But let's preface this with Erica hates change. This is where it's interesting to listen to Erica, who's the lifer at Disney. And I'm like, I just got here. What's this thing? This could be better. Could we do this better? I don't know. Yeah. But I mean, it definitely has that classic feel to it. We'll see, though. I'm not sure what it could possibly be turned into. But that's not my job. It's just my job. that's somebody else's job who's way smarter than me. But I would say that it is an experience, a ride experience that you don't have to be a fan of Star Wars to enjoy the simulator, the 3D experience, and it's just an exciting ride. So
yeah.
If you're trying to scratch an itch for Star Wars and because you can get fast passes for that, and it's never going to be a tier one fast pass, it's a good tier two fast pass to get in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
Not MGM. You can't get fast passes in MGM. Erica's just like, I can't get my MGM fast passes.
Actually, I think back when it was MGM, I don't even think they had magic bands and all. I think they still had the paper fast passes back then.
So. I'm sure. Well, let's go over to something else that I think is potentially maybe on the docket. We don't know anything. We're just speculating because we read all the same stuff you might. But at Disney World, they have the launch bay. And the Star Wars launch bay says, according to the Disney World website, celebrate all things Star Wars and come face to face with characters from the epic space saga. Explore immersive exhibits of costumes, models, concept artwork, and actual movie props, as well as authentic replicas created just for Star Wars Launch Bay. Watch an exclusive short documentary on the creative team behind the ever-evolving story. Explore a cantina and other settings inspired by the films, and then share a furry embrace with Chewbacca, Han Solo's trusty sidekick. I don't know if we'll be hugging anymore, but Disney still says we will, so we'll see. But it says any height, all ages. So this is definitely something anybody can enjoy. Before mm-hmm. we talk about the actual experience, I will say it's indoors and air conditioned and shaded. And when you go, when I go, which is in the dead of summer, all of a sudden it becomes a lot more interesting than maybe if it weren't.
Yeah.
But this is one of those that I think that you're probably, if you have nobody in your party who's a fan of Star Wars, you're probably skipping the launch bay.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen it.
There you go.
maybe with my brother when we were younger, but yeah, that's just something that we skip, and it's just because my husband's not a Star Wars fan mm-hmm. either. But yeah,
if you want to see Chewbacca though,
yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That's kind of worth it to get that photo opportunity, and there's something to be said that you know, when you're walking down Hollywood Studios and you hear that. This is going to sound terrible. I don't even know the song. The Imperial March. The Imperial March. Yeah. And you see the stormtroopers and you see them. Yeah. It's like, it does something to you. Like, yeah. It makes you feel, like, you could feel it in your soul. And you're like, oh my gosh, these guys are terrified. Walking right in front of me. And it's terrifying. So I think that, you know, and not being a fan, but seeing that and seeing the launch bay and seeing these characters, like, I think they do a really good job of making you feel like they're legitimately mm-hmm. like on a mission.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you might die, you know.
Exactly. Well, you know. Yeah.
You're a character hunter too, if you're somebody who's trying to get pictures or autographs from mm-hmm. all the characters, this is a very good way. And also not very large wait times. Right. Assuming that wait times you're not in a position where all the wait times are up, but this is going to be one of them that's a lower level. I know that they have had BB-8 back there. They've had Chewbacca back there. They've had Darth Vader back there. They've had Kylo Ren back there. You'll have mm-hmm. to check on your My Disney Experience app when you get there to see who is meeting. So it's a cool experience. And if you're a parent of a Disney or of a Star Wars kid or the wife or the spouse of a Star Wars person, you'll enjoy watching them enjoy this. If you're somebody who's never seen a Star Wars movie and you've got no frame of reference for anything, it's an easy skip in my estimation. You agree with that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
All right, let's go to, oh boy, this is something that's very, very near and dear to my heart, Jedi training. Have you ever seen Jedi training?
Of course, I stop every single time. And this was before I was even a mom. So I obviously have never had anybody sign up that I was with to do it. But
you never tried?
I mean, I've tried. No, I've never tried.
Erica's name's on a specific list.
It is. They're like, don't let that girl back. It's fine. I'm a little over the height requirements.
Yeah.
But it is something I will stop and see every single time. Because seeing the looks on these kids' faces, it melts my heart. And
you,
so I can't.
Would you, are you going to want to have Brayden do it?
1,000%. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm like crying even thinking about him doing it, like seeing his little blonde hair under the cape.
And he may not, you may not even like know, you might not have a huge Star Wars reference the first time you do it. But it is adorable. So here's what Jedi Training Trials of the Temple. This is straight from the Disney World website. It's located in Echo Lake. This is also located directly next to Star Tours. So if you want a little tip, schedule Jedi Training and then go schedule your Star Tours Fast Pass to be at the same time because you are literally right next door. And timing foot traffic, the amount of time you spend on foot traffic during the day, this is a great way to knock out a Fast Pass, mm-hmm. a ride, and an event. Younglings get a chance to train in the ways of the Force and put their skills to the test against the dark side. Preschoolers, kids, and tweens. It takes 20 minutes. And it says, driven into hiding by the Empire, the Jedi now train in remote hidden temples. The last Jedi Knights have assembled force-sensitive children from throughout the galaxy. These fearless young recruits will learn how to wield lightsabers and feel the Force. When they come face-to-face with menacing Star Wars villains, the Padawans must use their skill in the ultimate battle of good and evil. Now, I haven't really read the ins and outs of how to for the other ones, but I'm going to for this because this is a little unusual. You can't fast pass it. When you book your vacation with Erica, she can't get it for you. There's a little bit of a different setup here. It says younglings who wish to participate in Jedi training trials of the temple must register before the show. You need to be between 4 and 12 years of age to participate. My daughter,
a little over that.
Yeah, just a tad. My daughter just turned 4 yesterday and cannot wait to be a Jedi in training. Please register at the Indiana Jones Adventure Outpost, located between the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular and the 50s Primetime Cafe. So when you get into the park, you need to go register in person. Registration begins when Disney Hollywood Studios opens for the day. All participants must be present at the time of registration. So if you want to register two of your three kids, you need to go register them and you need to bring your kiddos with you. Availability is limited and offered on a first come, first serve basis. So this is kind of one of those rope drop type of things when you, if you want to ensure, because they have, like I said, they were 20 minutes long. The show is actually 20 minutes, but you need to show up 30, 35 minutes before your showtime starts. So it's kind of an hour long commitment to do Jedi training, but you show up at the end, you show up in the morning, you sign up for the time that you want to go. Then you go about your day, but you come back 30, I think it's 30 minutes before start time, and you sit there and you get your kind of rundown of here's what's going to happen. And then the kids get little capes, cloaks, robes, curtains. What are they? I don't know where they are.
I mean, I think a cloak sounds.
Cloak. Let's go with cloak. Yeah. Kids get little cloaks. They have little hoods on them. And then the cast members march them from Indiana Jones all the way to this, like, the temple. And they'll be like, Jedi training! And then the kids go, here we come! And they just say, they just, like, march that all the way up. And there's just a bunch of the kids, and they're all saying, here we come! It is the cutest thing! It's one of those times, as a parent, at Disney World, where you're just like, oh, I can't! It just is the best thing ever! You're sobbing because you're so happy. And you just don't expect that to come. And then they go up and they march up, and then you've got two Jedi trainers who are teaching these little kids how to fight. And they basically teach them a sequence. If my kids were in here, they'd say what it is. It's like cut to the left, cut to the right, duck, and then straight to the head. I don't know. So the kids repeat this sequence with their lightsaber. And then Darth Vader walks out of a cloud of smoke and the children fight Darth Vader. Ah, I can't believe this is happening. And you see these little kids, and they're small. And I'm like, I'd be intimidated to fight Darth Vader if I had to do that right now. And these kids are like, cut to the left, cut to the right, duck, straight to the head or something. They're so brave.
They've had the training.
Yeah.
We haven't had the training. That's why.
It's what you need to do. You need to go through the training. And then after that, Kylo Ren comes out and fights, I think, some of the older kids. And it's breathtaking as a parent or as a grandparent. It's, in my opinion, an if you have a kid 4 to 12, boy or girl, folks, girls can be Jedis too. You're darn right they can. You got to do it. It's just, it's an amazing experience.
Yeah. And I always tell people, make sure to get their rope drop because they do fill up fast. So this is not something that you could just randomly, you know, go mid-afternoon and hope to get a spot. It's you, I highly recommend getting their rope drop.
And if you go and you don't get a spot, you can go to the place like the 30 minutes before if you didn't get a spot. You can go there, and if somebody doesn't show up, you can fill in a spot. So if you, it's not as if you don't sign up or if everything is full. Both times that we've gone right when it's open and they haven't been full. So we've never not gotten it. But we did say, you know, my daughter was considering going. My older daughter was considering doing it. And she wasn't sure. And they're like, well, when you come back, if there's spots open, we fill them up with people who just show up. So she didn't end up wanting to do it. So we didn't have to go that route. But my trick, my general Hollywood Studios plan, and this changes a little bit with Rise of the Resistance, depending on how they continue to do that with the boarding pass, is to get an 8 a.m. Hollywood and Vine dinner reservation, because I got little kids, so seeing the Disney Junior characters is exciting. So to get a Hollywood and Vine reservation, but to book it, make sure that when you talk to Erica and you're booking your trip, that you book the VIP package, so you get the Fantasmic VIP tickets, so you get to knock out the Fantasmic thing, then you don't have to worry about using a fast pass on it. So it's a character breakfast. You get to meet characters that you don't really get to meet many other places. You get the Fantasmic VIP things. And then usually Hollywood and Vine opens at 8 a.m. and the park opens at 9 a.m. So you get to get in the park earlier so you can go before your reservation, go sign up for Jedi training, and then go to eat. And then by the time you're done, you're in the park and you're ready to roll. So it's kind of the sequence of events. Now, I don't know if how Hollywood Studios, like pre-coronavirus, how Hollywood Studios was going to do open times, if it was going to be the standard 9 a.m. So I don't know. We'll have to see. Do you know what they were doing like before they closed down? Do you have any recollection of what Hollywood Studios was doing for open times?
Not right before. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. Because I don't know if they would open it more. Everything is different now. I mean, because the whole point of opening it up was so that people could flood into Hollywood Studios. And we were there at the end of January and the beginning of February. And I have said to my husband several times, like, can you imagine being in the, we were in line for Slinky Dog at, I think the park opened at 7 a.m. I think we got in line at about 6:20 in the park. Like, we were towards the very front of the queue because they let people in early. And then they slowly walk you towards, you can go to various places. We went to Slinky Dog. And I mean, you were shoulder to shoulder with people for as far as you can see. And I'm like, yeah. I can't even imagine being like that right now. And I honestly think it'll get back to that. I can't imagine that we're going to be able to not to contain this mentality, this feeling that we have right now. You know, it could be years from now that we get back to that. But it's just something else to think about how things have changed so quickly in such a little time. But the Hollywood Studios opening thing, if you're booking a trip right now, make sure that you're constantly looking at the open times once the parks do open back up again for Hollywood Studios. Because with Rise of the Resistance, which we'll get to in a minute here, those park hours fluctuated quite a bit. I don't know. Do you think that it's all speculation, but do you think that the boarding pass situation, and do you think that the way that Hollywood Studios was the center of focus, there's no reason why it wouldn't be continue to be the center of focus for people who are going to Disney World, because they want to experience Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, and the new Mickey and Minnie rail that's there too. I mean, that's true. That they have the newest attractions is Hollywood Studios. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, like we said, that people that love Star Wars, they love Star Wars. So
yeah,
it's
a lifestyle.
It's going to be, I think that is going to be the focus. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I know I'm really excited about the stuff that they're doing at Epcot, but with everything that's happened, I don't know how refurbishment plans have been put on hold and changed and how long that's going to be. So
the thing about Epcot too is that they're like midstream, you know, like some of these projects, if imagine like rowing across a big lake or river, like once you get halfway, you either need to go the same distance backwards to get back to where you started, or you just got to keep rowing and get to the other side where you were headed. I think a lot of the things in Epcot that have already been started will obviously have to get finished. The question will be, where do they shelve things that didn't get started? I know I read something that suggested that maybe the Mary Poppins thing in the United Kingdom that was potentially going to get put in hadn't started yet. So, you know, that's just a bunch of thoughts that people are having, because in my opinion, rightfully so, Disney is not coming out and saying much, because when they come out and say something, I think they're going to say most of everything. Like when you hear news from Disney, I think we're going to get a huge amount of news from Disney.
I think that's why. I mean, we had a conversation, you know, off recording, saying that, you know, I'm really hesitant just to speculate, just because being a travel agent, I feel that people look to me for information and things like that. And so I have a really hard time as a travel agent, people asking me right now, oh, I saw this on a blog and I saw this online, and what do you think? And I've been very cognizant that I don't want to say anything that hasn't come from Disney, because I don't want people to be like, oh, well, Erica said this, I think that that's going to happen. And so that's just a personal thing for me. I have tons of speculations on my own that, you know, we've talked about, and I just, Disney hasn't come out with a lot of information. And so I haven't been able to say much information, because I only want to give people officially what I've heard from Disney as a travel agent. And that's,
And in my profession, I am a talk radio show host, so I live in speculation and conversation. So that's why we're shelving that a little bit, because there's no way for us to have a respectful conversation about that and give you what you're coming here to hear. So we're not trying to speculate too much. Although I think I'm going to be doing one episode myself. I'm going to talk about what I've read, what I've heard, and piece together a lot of what I'm consuming on a regular basis in the news world, and also a little bit in the political world, not to get political about the specific issue, but there are a lot of things that are pointing to specific directions, suggesting that potentially Disney might do this or Disney might do that, or looking at what other parks are doing. So you'll have to make sure you subscribe to hear that. The biggest Star Wars thing that is at Disney World now is Galaxy's Edge. I mean, that thing is overdone with. Yeah. Thank God they got that done before all of this happened, but they barely squeaked it in. Galaxy's Edge has been very popular since Rise of the Resistance opened up. When Smuggler's Run, the Millennium Falcon ride, opened up, there was some skepticism about the popularity of it. Florida got hit by a hurricane, or was going to get hit by a big hurricane right when it opened up, and I think that kind of dampened some of the travel to it. But it's definitely huge now, I would say. Like, when people are reaching out to you, Erica, about booking a trip, what are some of the questions? What are some of the things that they're saying they want to see? Like, is Galaxy's Edge up there?
It's 100% one of the first things that people say. Oh, I want to go see Star Wars. And it's one of those things, too, that if you've gone many years ago, and a lot has changed since people have gone prior, but I think the biggest and most impactful thing, especially if you're a Star Wars fan, is Galaxy's Edge. I mean, the technology, the advancements that they've had. Rise of the Resistance has pieces that they have never used anywhere in the park. So I think that people are really, really excited. So I've done a lot of booking trips around that as well. So knowing if you're going to spend a lot of time in Hollywood Studios, let's maybe look at a resort that's on the Skyliner so that you can get to those parks easily, so that you can get to Rope Drop and get there to get a boarding pass early. So, you know, that's a conversation that we have early on in the planning of what do you want to do? And a lot of times people want to see Star Wars, which I'm excited. I want to see it too. That, you know, of course, since I haven't been yet, that's something that I'm really looking forward to, not as a Star Wars fan. It's just when they came out with Pandora, it was earth shattering, and it was new and it was exciting. And this is like Pandora on steroids. So it is.
I've seen it. I've been there, and I've ridden both Smuggler's Run and Rise of the Resistance, and walked through Galaxy's Edge, and I've eaten at Oga's Cantina, drank at Oga's Cantina. I haven't tried as much of the food there because there's only so much a girl can do in one day. But I got to tell you what, when you're talking about Star Wars lovers, and you're talking about the two rides that are in Galaxy's Edge, Smuggler's Run, which was the first one that opened, where you get to pilot the Millennium Falcon, is super fun. There's kind of a luck of the draw, because there are six positions. You can be the pilot, you can be a gunner, or you can be something else, which slips my mind right now. What's the other one? Engineer.
Is it engineer?
Yeah. And we were engineers, my husband and I. We were the last two to go in with these other four people. And the pilots fly the plane. And the gunners, you get told when to shoot things down and everything. And the engineers have to repair the plane or the ship, whatever, when it gets a hit. And, I mean, it was, as a mom, I appreciated what was going on here. Because these two kids, they're probably 6 and 8 or something. They got the pilot spot. And I've read this a lot about from people who go frequently. But when you get on there and get in there and you're with somebody who can't fly this thing very well, it can really diminish your experience. Yeah. But as a mom, like if my 10-year-old got the pilot, I would give it to him. Like I would want him to have that experience. And the kids had a great time. And they're like, the weird thing was, is that my husband and I were the engineers. We were in the back of the ship, and the mom and the grandma were the gunners. All they were doing was like reaching over the seat and like trying to help their kids. And I'm like, shoot the dang guns, ladies. We got to kill some people. And I didn't say any of that. I just sat there and kind of laughed. But I mean, like they didn't even like they were so engrossed in what their kids were doing. And I get that. It was fine. But I could see how if you were going to go this one time and that was your experience, you'd be like, ugh. So I've heard lots of people say, like, if you'd rather hold off for the engineer or the pilot thing, you can ask the cast member if they'll allow it, and they might and they might not. And if they don't, you move on. If they do, then there you got that. I will, when we go the next time, we'll have, let's see, 2, 4, probably 6 of us that want to go, but we'll have the 4-year-old who may not want to do it. She might, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'll make sure that If I have to be the engineer again so that the people who I'm with can experience being the pilot, like, I'm okay with that. And if you get into a situation like I did, just chill and be a nice human, you know? Like, and enjoy it, and you engineer the crap out of that ship, and you make it, you know, you do the best you can, and then maybe you get in line again. You can do single rider as well on the Millennium Falcon ride, so it's... That is not Fast Pass. That's single rider. And that line, from what I've heard and seen a lot on YouTube, goes real fast. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a cool thing about it. You do not have to be a Star Wars fan to enjoy that. It is a really, really amazing experience. It is Star Tours on steroids, going in and flying that ship and like having to push the buttons and work together as a team. I'm really excited about going in there. That, like, as a group of people who are all doing it together, that you know everybody. So, but it's a pretty cool experience.
Star Tours is the one, you know, it's a show, it's the same thing over and over again. With Millennium Falcon, it's going to be different every single time you go. So it's a different storyline. It's like you said, if you have better pilots, it's going to be a different experience. So, you know, doing that attraction 2 or 3 different times, you could have 2 or 3 totally different experiences, mm-hmm. which I think is a really cool thing to do.
And when you turn the corner, when you're on Galaxy's Edge and you Batu, which is the name of the planet that you're on back there, I mean, you do feel like you're in a different world. You turn the corner and you see this Millennium Falcon. This thing is gigantic. Like, it is, you just stare at it and your mouth is hanging open, and you don't even have to know that it's the Millennium Falcon and it did the Kessel Run and Harrison Ford was really attractive when he was driving that thing. You don't have to know all that stuff. Although then Harrison Ford, if you didn't know that, you should just Google it right now. But it's so massive. It is one of the best picture spots in all of Disney World to stand in front of the Millennium Falcon and have this massive thing behind you and take that in. It is a spectacle for sure. The other ride in Galaxy's Edge is Rise of the Resistance. And this is what Erica was alluding to a little bit before. I mean, Erica, you haven't done it yet. You will love it when you do. You're planning on doing it, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's like one of the first things that I want to... Well, see, I'm going back and forth. Yes. I'm really excited about Mickey Minnie Rail, too.
You are?
I'm really, really excited. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
I thought the first thing you're going to do is shake fists at the Chinese theater for getting rid of the movie ride. Well, that's the first thing you'll do. The second thing will be to ride Minnie's Railway and Mickey
and
Minnie's Railway.
They didn't make it a Mickey and Minnie attraction, the very first attraction that ever featured them, then maybe we'd have a problem.
So you're like on okay terms right now.
I'm on okay terms. And with as sad as I am that Batuu is now built where the Great Movie Ride was, which was one of my hands down favorite things to do at Disney World. I'm okay with that. I'm glad it went to Rise of the Resistance, because I think that's going to be, I'm really excited about it. So, there's spoilers out there, and I've seen the spoilers, which I know a lot of people, it's very...
Have you watched either, the whole ride, the point of view right there?
Yeah.
Okay. I do
absolutely.
Too. I know. I want to know.
I want to know, but, and I know just watching it on YouTube or wherever I was watching it, it pales in comparison to what it's going to be like to actually be there and live it and see it and smell it and feel it. And that's the thing about Disney, is that it's not just a movie. It's not just a ride. It's not just a roller coaster or an attraction. It's an experience.
Yeah, it's a full-on experience.
Everything. And I'm really excited about it.
So you have to do the boarding pass process. That's the way that it was left before everything shut down. I can't imagine that's going to be any different. Maybe the like the way you do it, I think will be the same, but maybe they might change like where you have to be when you, because you're supposed to be in the park to get your boarding pass. The app has to know that you are in Hollywood Studios in order for you to access a boarding pass. That could change, could not change. We don't know what they're going to do yet, but that is something they'll have to do something to manage the crowds a little bit regarding that. But I think it's actually closer to the future of what most rides could potentially be doing, so that you're not standing in the standby line or standing, you know, shoulder to shoulder in the fast pass line. It might be the future, a version of that that they employ for a lot of these other rides. But when you go on, it is the thing that I love the most about what Disney did with this ride is that they took a lot of the queue and made it an experience. You know, we've talked about tricked out queues before. Erica, you always talk about the Peter Pan queue. I've never gone through the standby line for Peter Pan. But this is something where there are like holograms and animatronics, and you go from point to, like, you don't realize that you're waiting in line for like the biggest part of the show because they've done so much. The experience is 20 minutes long, I think, as a whole. And it's amazing. It'll blow your mind. You are part of a movie. And that is what Walt Disney wanted people to feel like when they stepped onto the asphalt at Magic Kingdom, to feel like they were the star of the show. And it's crazy to think that, you know, he didn't even live, right, to see the completion of Walt Disney World. That now at Hollywood Studios, you get injected right in the middle of this Star Wars battle. And it just gives me goosebumps thinking about it. All of the ways you can take it in and breathe it in when you go through it. Do you need to have seen a Star Wars movie? You don't even need to have heard of Star Wars before to go in this and just be jaw-droppingly amazed by the time you get done with Rise of the Resistance. It is that amazing, for sure. I'm excited. Yeah. I can't wait to hear what you think about it, especially being I'm the non-Star Wars person that you are.
Well, and I mean, just I think they've done such a good job with Batuu, just being with everything being immersive, that, you know, there's in their own language that they use, and you can't just ask somebody where Slinky Dog is because it's not, they've never been to Slinky Dog because you're on this, you know, you're on Batuu. So, I'm the person that goes to trivia nights for raffle baskets. I love shopping. So all the gift shops, I know people are like, oh yeah, you go in an attraction, there's a gift shop. But a lot of the places have park only merchandise, and Batuu has a lot of that. I mean, where else are you going to get a Darth Vader, Mr. Potato Head, like a Darth Tater? Like, you're only going to get that in Disney World.
That's so hilarious.
Yeah, I got one from,
If that's not a real idea yet, we won't publish this until you get that patented. A Darth Tater. Who would have thought Disney would have come up with that first? You know what? Yesterday we were eating hash browns with something that my husband made, and they were the circles, like hash rounds. And they said, these aren't tater tots. And I called them tater spots. And I thought, that needs to be a brand. And it could be Tater Spots by Darth Tater. And that could be something that they serve in Batuu.
Let's stop this right now and write that down. All of this. No, unfortunately, the Darth Tater does exist, but you know, it's so cool to be that immersed into anything. I mean, whether it's Star Wars or Galaxy's Edge, or, you know, it's just the costumes and the way that the architecture and the looks and the feels, and, you know, you see the characters going by, like, I'm really excited to actually be in there and see.
How about the realization that we've just seen in Hollywood Studios, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, that's been completed. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really cool technology that has been employed in that. Mm-hmm. And we've also seen Rise of the Resistance be completed. They didn't just start thinking of this stuff yesterday. So what are they thinking about right now? Like, what is in their minds that they haven't employed yet that we are going to get to experience in 5 years, 10 years, or whatever? Like, that's the excitement that I have, is that they create things. And Avatar, Flight of Passage, is still certainly that for me, where I'm on this thing and I'm asking myself, how is this happening? Like, what is happening? I am an intellectual person. I should be able to figure this out. I am not flying on a Banshee. Am I flying on a Banshee? I think I'm flying on a Banshee. I mean, it's a crazy experience for Disney to be able to imagineer you into tricking your own mind, intellectually knowing that what's happening isn't really happening, but they're so good at it. That you're like, all right, I'm just going to surrender and I'm going to beat Kylo Ren. I'm going to take him on right now. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah. No, and I think that's, I mean, look at the Jungle Cruise. And I mean, that was, groundbreaking at the time to have these animatronic animals and have these hippos that come out of the water and these, you know, elephants that are like, it's, and where that has come from that to Rise of the Resistance and everything in between there. It's the future of Disney is going to be very, very, very exciting.
I think so too. Well, the last thing that I wanted to touch on with the Star Wars stuff, and I think, did you get some news on the Star Wars hotel that they are building? They've been talking about it for quite some time, but it, I don't know, it's not necessarily a casualty of coronavirus, but the situation has changed a little bit.
Yes. It was it's scheduled to open next year, but like you said, we don't really have any information of if that's still on track. But the thing that's exciting about that, it's not going to be like a regular resort. It's not going to be like Animal Kingdom Lodge where, you know, you're immersed into the African jungle. This is, when I say immersive experience, it is going to be...
It's almost not enough to say it's immersive.
Yeah, I don't know how. It's not like you're just going to check into a room. You are going in. There's a schedule of events. It's not that you can pick and choose when you go to Magic Kingdom and do all of this. You are going into Batuu. You are going into this Star Cruiser, and you are staying in a Star Wars bunker. They don't have housekeepers. They have droids that may be a butler. They're going to have the windows are going, you're going to look out and see the galaxy. It is going to make you feel like you are in this galaxy. And some of the events, it's going to be right entering into Batuu. So it's going to be like you're on that land. There's going to be something similar to the Jedi training, to where they're going to do lightsaber battles and all kinds of things. But it's a 2-day experience. And then you can add it on with, you know, obviously another stay of resort so that you can experience everything else that Walt Disney has. But the information that we have now, which I'm sure more is still going to come, there's going to be secret missions, and they're going to have, you know, all of these crazy mind-blowing things. I think that we were talking about the next phase of what Disney is going to be. I think this is going to This is going to be pretty amazing. So, yeah, really, really exciting about that. And something that we didn't touch on is that they do still have the Star Wars, the Galactic Spectacular at Hollywood Studios, which is a firework, pyrotechnic and laser show that they have. And I think that that's something that's going to be incorporated with that hotel too, because it's right there going to be on that property.
The hotel experience to me definitely sounds like something that because the penny is pricey. On mm-hmm. it. Yeah. I know that shocks everybody, but it's going to be expensive. But I don't think that that's something that I would want to do with my money. Now, if they were to create a different immersive experience with a different storyline, or, you know, potentially like you live in an aquarium or something like that, I don't know. Well, those may become more and more interesting to individuals that Star Wars maybe not. So I don't, the hotel thing, honestly, of all of the things that we've listed, the hotel, which doesn't exist yet, but is in the process of becoming a reality, and maybe the launch bay where you could go in and meet some of these characters, are the only ones where I'm thinking if you and nobody who is with you is a Star Wars fan, you could skip those two things. I don't know. Is that something that you would ever like the Star Wars hotel?
I don't like necessarily being told what shocker. I don't like being told what to do. When I go, I want to be able to do things with my family. And if I feel like sleeping in, I want to sleep in. And if I want to, you know, go and experience Magic Kingdom when I want to experience and see the fireworks that night, you know, I want to be able to do that. And this doesn't sound like it's going to allow that to happen, because when you are on this Galactic Star Cruiser, the Magic Kingdom doesn't exist. These other places don't exist because you are in this galaxy. So personally, it's not something I would, but I know I've had a handful of people that have reached out to me already and were like, is there a waiting list? How do I do this? They will pay what I will pay to see NSYNC live again.
Does JT know that? That's hilarious. What if JT was live at the hotel?
I would make it happen. Right. I would 100% make that happen.
If Disney's listening and that happens, you heard it here on the Pixie Dust podcast. Wouldn't that be the weirdest?
I mean, he was on the Mickey Mouse Club. That is where he got his start. So, and fun story about just a little totally going off topic. When I was in high school, this is dating me again too, NSYNC had just kind of started to make their appearance, and I got to see them in Hollywood Studios. They did a Disney special, and they were there when we were there. And this was before they were big. We had no idea who they were and what was going to happen and how big they were going to be. But yeah,
that's awesome. Very, very exciting. You never know what you're going to see at Disney World.
You never know. And then I never knew what an impact Justin Timberlake would have on my life.
Neither did he. All right. Well, that's the May the 4th be with you edition of the Pixie Dust podcast. Again, thank you so much for listening to us and joining us for this conversation. These are fun conversations to have right now, and I know everything's kind of crazy out there, so we appreciate you joining us. If you have any questions at all about booking a Disney World vacation, whether you want it to be all Star Wars or you want it to be no Star Wars, you got the right place here. Erica Murphy, Magic Expeditions on Facebook. You can connect with her there, and what email? Erica@magicexpeditions.com. Is that the best way to reach out to you?
Or Facebook, whatever is easiest.
Erika@magicexpeditions.com. And please consider liking the Pixie Dust podcast on Facebook as well. We've created this Facebook page and we would love to be able to communicate with you there. We want to be able to put up some topics that we would like to have discussion about and bring your answers into the conversation. If we're talking about the best quick service places to go at Disney World and you have a place that you want to make sure is on there, we want to include that. So Pixie Dust podcast on Facebook, Magic Expedition, Erika@magicexpeditions.com. Is that right? Erika@magicexpeditions.com. Man, it is time to end the podcast. That's for sure. If you have questions about booking a vacation, she's very low pressure and she'll just answer your questions and make you feel comfortable. So Erika, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Until next time. Thanks for listening.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
I keep seeing celebrities posts, me in the 90s versus now. Well, the person staring at me in the mirror is definitely not the same person that could pull off bootcut jeans. Time creeps up on us so slowly. You don't see it until suddenly you do. Same thing goes for your bills. A dollar here, an uptick there. It's a slow burn until one day you realize the price you're paying now is way higher than when you signed up. But at T-Mobile, customers had the lowest wireless bills versus Verizon and AT&T over the past 5 years. And with T-Mobile on their experience plans, you get a 5-year price guarantee, so you know exactly what your plan price will be for the next 5 years. So at least that's one thing that won't change over time. I can't guarantee you'll still look good with frosted tips, but T-Mobile can give you a clear guarantee on your wireless plan.
Lower bills based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 21 to Q4 25 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. Price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Exclusions like taxes and fees apply. See T-Mobile.com.